20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. You can get all your Pack-A-Day updates by following us on Twitter at Pack-A-Day Podcast. And remember to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, or Spotify. And, of course, you can check us out over at CheeseheadTV.com. I'm Kyle Fellows, and I am joined by both of my co-hosts, Maggie Loney and Andrew Mertig. It's a Friday show, you guys. It's good to be back. How you guys doing?
It's fantastic. We're like really jumping into this off season. Lots of news, lots of updates. So really great to be back on a Friday.
Yeah, now that the Super Bowl is over and we've officially hit the off season, I finally just today started my draft prep. And once I commit, there's no going back for me. So I've officially committed as of today.
Yes, we are in full off-season mode now, and with that does come the changes to teams, to coaching staffs, the hirings, the firings, and all the promotions and all those kinds of fun things that each team experiences. And the Packers are still rounding out their staff for 2022 after losing a few pieces to Denver and Chicago, some various locations. Today, we got news that Green Bay is expected to hire Tom Clements to serve as their quarterback's coach for this coming season. Obviously, this is a role that was left vacant when Luke Getsy took the OC job with the Bears for the chance to call plays there. But guys, is this big news? And I'm curious what your reaction is here now that we know that Tom Clements is going to be that quarterback's coach here in Green Bay.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting, you know, a couple weeks ago, right when it happened, when they hired an assistant quarterback's coach, but then they never, like, confirmed who the actual quarterback's coach was going to be. But Rodgers won the Super Bowl with Tom Clements, and, you know, he's spoken super highly of him, just unprompted in a number of interviews. So, you know, the connection was definitely there. So this really doesn't feel like something that the Packers would be doing if it wasn't a pretty clear indicator that 12 was coming back.
Yeah, and so Kyle wrote in the notes that I'm supposed to read that Clements was the Packers quarterback coach from 06 to 2011, and he was the Cardinals quarterback's coach from 2019 to 2020, and he retired a year ago. He's 68 years old, so obviously been in the business a long time, and you know, this seems to be a move the Packers are making to help appease Aaron Rodgers. The other thing that I would say, you know, kind of interesting, having Aaron Rodgers early in his career and then Kyler Murray from 19 to 20 with the Cardinals, is he's probably not doing a very good job of teaching his quarterbacks how to emote on the sidelines.
I'm so glad that you took that route with that and that you really did give me credit for what I put in the notes there. Those were suggestions. You didn't have to say that. But, I mean, honestly, Twitter is ablaze with the pictures of Matt LaFleur and Kyler Murray right now. Like, this is what's happening. He's obviously luring Kyler Murray to Green Bay to be the starting quarterback. That's what this is all about. But, I mean, this is an interesting move. You said it. He's 68 years old. Probably doesn't make this move coming out of an official retirement to be the quarterback's coach for anyone other than Aaron Rodgers. But we'll wait and see. We haven't heard any official news yet, and just seems like all the things keep coming together for that eventual announcement. But today we get to finish up our series that focuses on previewing the off seasons of the Packers division rivals. That's what we're up to. Last Friday, we had some fun celebrating the Hall of Fame induction of Leroy Butler and, of course, Aaron Rodgers MVP as well. But we also discussed in that show the Chicago Bears and what their offseason could look like. And the week before was our conversation about the Lions and their looming offseason as well. So it's been a lot of fun. If you missed either of those shows, it's totally worth your time, if we do say so ourselves, to go back, check those out, and get caught up. But today, we do get to do one more of these with a look at the Minnesota Vikings. We're going to look at the significant changes that have already begun there in Minnesota, more change that is inevitable, and how they might wish to improve their roster this offseason. If you've listened to the Friday show long enough, you know that we are all about roster building here. This is kind of our niche. That's what we nerd out about. So it's fun to see how all teams and organizations build their teams very differently. And what Minnesota is doing and the direction they're trying to go is very different from what we've discussed with Chicago and Detroit. So this is going to be fun. We're going to get into this and talk about these Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, so the Vikings finished with an 8-9 record this past season, and they certainly had higher aspirations, but you factor in a big injury to Danielle Hunter, and then also those mental health concerns of Everson Griffen. Those put a major strength of their defense in a very bad position. An edge rusher went from a major strength to a significant weakness on that team. Delvin Cook missed chunks of time, although he kind of always misses chunks of time, so there's that. But the defense just never really matched up with that high-powered offense. And they're hitting the reset button on what will be remembered as probably a very mediocre tenure from Mike Zimmer.
Yeah, I mean, the Vikings really just kind of blew up their front office and their coaching staff. And they brought in their new general manager in Kwesi Adofo-Mensah. He'll take over after spending time in Cleveland with Andrew Berry. And as someone who has suffered through a lot of Browns football, I think Andrew Berry is excellent. So I really like this hiring for the Vikings. But when I say I like it, I mean that I hate it. He helped the Browns land Greg Newsome and Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah in last year's draft, two Packer fan favorites who made the all-rookie team for the NFL. They also, you know, hired their head coach this week, Kevin O'Connell, who was obviously really busy, you know, just won the Super Bowl with the Rams as their offensive coordinator, and now he's being named a head coach. He brought in Ed Donatella, who was most recently with the Broncos, to be his defensive coordinator, so another Fangio-style defense there. And then they added a familiar face in Mike Pettine as assistant head coach. That was announced today as well.
Yeah, the Mike Pettine piece is really interesting because I've seen a lot of people on Packers Twitter throwing shade at Mike Pettine in this move, and I get that. Like, the Packers obviously decided to move on, that it was time. But I don't think we know what Mike Pettine would have done exactly with pieces like Devondre Campbell and more depth at corner and guys like Stokes and Rasul Douglas. So I think that the Packers made a good move there, but I also think that there's more that Mike Pettine can offer. So I don't think that this is maybe, as humorous of a hire as maybe some are making it out to be there in Minnesota. But the Vikings team, they have a lot of impending free agents, and Donatell and Pettine are going to have their work cut out for them because the list of potential free agent losses, especially for the defense, is pretty long. Names on this list are pretty significant. Patrick Peterson, the corner, is a free agent there. Everyone kind of knew that he was kind of that Band-Aid for 1 year, so it will be interesting to see what the Vikings decide to do there. Peterson will be 32 when the season starts. But Peterson isn't the only secondary player on this list. Mackenzie Alexander is also a free agent, as is Xavier Woods, the safety. So lots of change is coming potentially in that secondary. But staying on the defensive side of the ball, Anthony Barr and Sheldon Richardson are both free agents as well. And both are aging, right, at age 31 and age 30. These guys aren't getting any younger. And then I almost forgot to mention this. I just threw him in the dock. Everson Griffen is also a free agent here. He's 34 years old, and you never know if he's going to be sticking around there as a Minnesota Viking or not. So the Vikings have some tough decisions to make, especially on defense. The potential losses on the offensive side of the ball aren't nearly as harsh. They could lose guard Rashad Hill, wide receiver D.D. Westbrook, and tight end Tyler Conklin. So nobody's freaking out about those guys probably leaving town. But that defense could look quite a bit different heading into this coming season.
Yeah, so when you look at where they need to address, really the big primary needs are going to look like safety, interior defensive line, cornerback, and I'm going to say quarterback. All right, I'll talk about that a little bit. Some secondary needs, wide receiver. Obviously, this means, you know, a third wide receiver or potentially a second. Talk about that a little bit too. Linebacker and edge, which you never would have thought would be needs for this team as of right now. Probably the position that seems most glaringly that they don't need to add anything at is running back with Cook and Why is their backup running back
Alexander Madison?
Madison, yes. Thank
you're not
you.
Not a Hamilton fan. It just doesn't come to you.
nice pass. Nice.
And then Kenny Nwangu, the rookie that they drafted. So they have some really good depth there. So when you take a look at their cap space, they currently sit at negative $19 million. So, you know, not a great place to be with so many perceived needs. Trading Kirk Cousins saves them $35 million. But then what do you do at quarterback, right? They could trade for Deshaun Watson, but that will cost them picks and add on another big quarterback deal. And in fact, Watson comes with the same $35 million cap hit that they would save by jettisoning Cousins. So even if they found a way to do that, they're not saving any cap room, right? They're still in that $19 million hole. They could extend Cousins, but then that just pushes more money out further down the line. So some easy restructures that they could do: Adam Thielen, Delvin Cook, Michael Pierce, Brian O'Neill, and CJ Ham. That can make up $19 million. But they're still not far enough under the cap to sign anyone, right? Kyle just talked about this laundry list of free agents that they have, plus not adding anybody to the team or pay their draft class. This is a team that is going to have to make some difficult decisions. It's not Packers bad, but they also don't have the talent or depth Green Bay does. So I don't think this is a very good situation for Minnesota. The short of it is that I don't think they can really afford to target anybody in free agency, so I didn't even bother to look. Unless they trade Cousins, and then they're going to have to use some of that money to do something at quarterback, unless their plan is draft a quarterback and then play a Band-Aid there for a year. So they're in a very interesting position.
The new year is a great time to focus on what's important to you. Whether it's saving money by ordering less takeout, learning to cook, or prioritizing your wellness, HelloFresh is here to help you with endless options to make cooking at home simple and enjoyable. Personally, I'm really trying to work on my weight this year, and when I found out that HelloFresh delivers pre-portioned ingredients right to my door, including farm-fresh produce that arrives within a week, I was all in. Skip the trips to the grocery store, saving you long wait times and ensuring you don't waste your money on excess food, and sign up for HelloFresh instead. HelloFresh has helped me eat fresher food with better portion control and has helped me live a healthier lifestyle. I highly recommend the teriyaki chicken tenders, by the way. So go to HelloFresh.com/Packaday16 and use code Packaday16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. That's HelloFresh.com/Packaday16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. Remember to use code Packaday16. That's HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or is preventing you from achieving your goals? We've all struggled with mental health in different ways, especially during a pandemic, and I'm certainly no different. Keeping myself centered mentally is such a huge part of my overall health goals, and that's where BetterHelp has helped me. BetterHelp has the ability to assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional therapy done securely online. There's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas, and the service is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your therapist, plus you'll get timely and thoughtful responses. You can even schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you won't have to ever sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change therapists if needed, and it's more affordable than traditional offline therapy. Plus, financial aid is available if needed. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Visit their website and read their testimonials that are posted daily. Visit betterhelp.com/packaday. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, and join the over 2 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional therapists in all 50 states. And of course, we have a special offer for Packaday listeners, as you can get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/packaday.
Yeah, really interesting. And quarterback does seem to come up frequently. Lots of, I don't want to say rumors, but speculation of landing places for Kirk Cousins. He could be a Brown. He could be a Steeler. You know, I've even seen him in Carolina. Like, lots of thoughts that he could move around. But I think you make a good point that financially it may not benefit the Vikings very much to do that. And maybe they should look a little bit more long-term at replacing Cousins, but not getting too eager to move on while he's still there. But I mean, Minnesota's certainly in a place where they're going to try to get over this mediocrity, right, that they've been living in. As Maggie said, they decided to change things up on the coaching staff, and that's a big part of it. But they also made the changes at GM. And those who are in charge of making the decisions about what talent they're going to be acquiring. So this organization has a lot of big decisions coming up, and what they do with their draft capital is going to be huge as they try to get over the hump and compete for this NFC North division. So Maggie, let's talk about what draft resources the Vikings and new GM Kwesi Adofo-Mensah have to work with here.
Yeah, so the Vikings are much better off than the Bears were when we talked last week as far as the draft is concerned and what kind of capital they have. They definitely have more ammo to move around with. They have 8 picks, including the 12th overall selection in the first round of the draft. So those picks are, you know, the first rounder, 12th overall. They have a second rounder, a third rounder, 1 5th, 3 6th round picks, and a 7th rounder. They did have a 4th rounder, but they traded that away to the Jets for Chris Herndon early in the season.
Yeah, so an interesting amount of picks to work with there. Lots of 6th round picks. It's some fun to be had there. But it's early in the process, you guys. They've got all these picks. Some nice ones, right? They're up at the top with 12 overall and then an early one in the second round. Is there any direction that you guys feel like, I know it's early, but is there anywhere that you feel like they could go, any positions they could target, or maybe some specific players?
Yeah, it'll be interesting too to see if they move away from the strategy of Rick Spielman trading down and accumulating tons and tons and tons of resources, because I think the Vikings have drafted something like 27 players in the last 2 drafts. So they've definitely gone the quantity over quality route. But if they do stick at 12, some interesting names. While I have not evaluated him yet, safety Kyle Hamilton is regarded by some people I trust as the best prospect in this draft class. I don't think he lasts till 12, right? But we don't know. Safety is not typically considered a premium position. Could fall. That's a situation I would greatly dislike. Jordan Davis, the massive defensive lineman out of Georgia, seems like a traditional Minnesota pick to dominate the interior. If you think back to those like Pat Williams days. And I think Derek Stingley Jr. out of LSU and Andrew Booth Jr. out of Clemson are both options at cornerback at 12.
Yeah, I mentioned that Everson Griffin is old, right? And it feels like this is well documented. And it just feels like they might need to look to the future for who's going to be that impact pass rusher for this team. Jermaine Johnson out of Florida State is someone that I think could be an interesting pick for them in the first round. He blew up at the Senior Bowl, right? And was thought to kind of be that late first round pick maybe before that week. And so I think he's slowly creeping up into range where the Vikings can maybe consider him as early as 12. And I like what Andrew said about Stingley, the corner, being in play at 12. I think a lot of people, you know, they think that Stingley is this generational talent, but we've heard that he's kind of fallen in some circles, and that may not be super shocking to see him last to pick 12. And we know that the Vikings have a great tradition of drafting corners early and often, and it feels like every year. So we'll see what they do with a new GM in place, if that continues or if we get a little bit of a different pattern from the Vikings going forward.
Yeah, I think we're all definitely in agreement here. It'll be a pick on the defensive side of the ball. At least, you know, that would be my guess. And I'm leaning towards them taking either a defensive lineman or an edge rusher. Their secondary is struggling right now, like you guys have already mentioned, but I think they'll be able to find some help there on day 2. They have plenty of ammo to kind of move around the draft. I think bringing in Ed Donatell is kind of the interesting part in a lot of this. You know, I saw some analysts saying that they think the Vikings will likely move now from a 4-3 back to a 3-4. But depending on how much stock you put into, you know, the basic fronts at this point, it doesn't really mean much considering the kind of hybrid defenses coordinators are using at this point. But that said, I kind of see the Vikings taking a guy like David Ajabo in the first. I don't know if, you know, 12 would be the move there. They might trade back a little bit, but, you know, he's a raw guy, but you guys have already mentioned Everson Griffin, Anthony Barr, Nick Vigil are all free agents. So he could be on that same kind of Rashawn Gary trajectory where he's an early edge pick, a lot of talent, a lot of upside that starts as a rotational pass rusher and then turns into an every down guy.
Absolutely. That's a really intriguing name to watch as the draft gets closer. David Ajabo out of Michigan. Quick question for you before we go. So obviously the big decision for the offseason for the Vikings is what the heck do you do with Kirk Cousins? If you were in charge in Minnesota, what would your plan be?
Maggie, do you have any immediate thoughts that come to mind?
I think they keep him, but, and I mean, like, as I guess as he's serviceable, like, I guess it's like, where do you think, he's a top 10 quarterback in the league, top 15? Like, where's your cutoff to get over the hump? Can he do enough?
Do you want me to be honest here?
Yeah.
I don't think that there's anything that Matthew Stafford did that Kirk Cousins can't. And I know that's hot takey, but I just kind of feel like they're the same kind of quarterback. They're going to make great throws and then they're going to kill you sometimes. Stafford's, I think, more toolsy, but I think there's a team out there that would be willing to give you something for Cousins.
They're, like it, the Eagles?
Because of his contract, they're not going to give you the Stafford deal. But yeah, I think the Eagles, that's a great example. And so, you know, teams get stuck in this mediocre phase, right? Like we see it happen all the time where they just can't get over the proverbial hump. And I feel like for the Vikings, it would be better to trade Cousins, get what you can, draft a quarterback this year that you feel comfortable developing, and then just be bad for a year or two and then rebuild with some crazy weapons, right? Because then you can afford to give Jefferson the money that you're going to need to. You can afford to start building up the defense. And I don't know, that's just the way that I would run within their current restrictions right now.
I really like the way you're thinking about that. I think I agree like 100% that if you made all the changes, right? You made changes as a coach, you've made changes in the front office. If you don't feel like Kirk Cousins is going to take you where you want to go, just blow it up now and take those picks. And I think a team like Pittsburgh, honestly, would be my fit, because I feel like Kirk Cousins can do a lot there with the pieces around them. And I feel like Pittsburgh benefits. I think you get your picks if you're Minnesota. And I think, honestly, like Justin Jefferson has like not been great as like a PR guy, like talking about Kirk Cousins. So, like, I mean, you've already got your best player, like your star of the future, who's basically said, this guy's got a ceiling and like, we're not going to get there with him as our quarterback essentially. So I feel like you rip the Band-Aid off and you play a quarterback who's not going to get you a high or a late pick. You know, you're going to be picking early in 2023, maybe when there's a pretty rich, you know, class of maybe quarterbacks you'd prefer to this year. So that's the route I would go, but it doesn't feel like Minnesota's going to go there. But I think that there's a lot of intriguing teams around the league who may take them up on that offer if they wanted to.
Yeah, well, it'll definitely be interesting to get into more of this off-season content as we move forward. But that is all the time that we have for today. This has been the Packaday Podcast. You can find Kyle on Twitter at Packer_Pundit, Maggie at Maggie J. Loney, and you can find me at Andrew Mertig. Please subscribe and consider giving us a 5-star rating. You can catch Kyle, Maggie, and myself every single Friday. And next week, we'll be back with more off-season coverage. Thanks for listening. And as always, remember... Go, Pack, go!